Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is Purva Vibhag, first wave, Eastern Division, Chapter 2, verse 229. This is the conclusion of the discussion of the 64 limbs of devotion. And now at this juncture, Rupa Goswami is mentioning the five most important limbs. And this is 62, which is Sajati Shadati Yashaya Snigda Sri Bhagavad Bhakta Sango. So we were discussing yesterday on Bhagavad Bhakta how to associate with devotees and how to choose association, what to look for. And the two words that Rupa Goswami used here is Sajati and Snigda, and we described some meaning of Sajati. And one of the most interesting meanings of Sajati is that Sajati means one's own kind, one's own family. And Jiva Goswami explains that this actually means one's own guru, his own Diksha Guru or Bhajan Shiksha Guru, and his own Guru Bhais, or his own, we say, God brothers, God sisters. This is like Sajati. Because when, this is a small review, when we associate with, mix up with all kinds of different devotees of different gurus, then they all have different moods. For example, take one point close at hand. A few friends get together and they're disciples of different gurus or whatever. And then they say, let's do Govardhan Parikrama together. So everyone agrees on that. Then they all come to Radhakund and one starts taking off his dhoti and getting ready to put on a gamsha. And then the other devotees, what are you doing? Well, I'm bathing in Radhakund. No, 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 my guru said, this is not different from Radharani. You can't touch even your feet to Radharani. What are you doing? This? He says, oh, I don't know. My guru said that, you know, he says in Nectar of Instruction we should bathe in Radhakund. And no, no, no. And there's a big fight on the banks of Radhakund. And they're pushing and shoving. And one person pushes the other person in Radhakund. Then everybody ends up in Radhakund. So it's a happy ending for everyone. So these type of issues come up, these differences. So the ultimate expression or meaning of Sajati is with your own family. And then you can churn the Harikata with a particular bhav and mood, which is also Sajati. The bhav and mood which you're interested in and the bhav and mood of your own guru, that can be cultivated with like-minded people. That's a very common phrase in English, birds of a feather flock together. So all birds are there and they all fly, they have similar characteristics, but then some of the same species have the unique characteristics. So all devotees, they worship Krishna and they chant, but then the specifics may vary. So to have a harmonious flow of devotion, it's best to be with one's own feather, to associate with one's own feather, or to associate with devotees that have multicolored feathers. Some devotees have feathers of every color, and they're like kaleidoscope birds. And they can mix with everyone. Universal mix. Like water. Water mixes with everything. But once it takes a particular definition, then it no longer is water. So this is a summary. And to explain further that point, he quotes from Hari Bhakti Sirodaya, which just to clarify the point from some reference of Vedic Shastra, he says, yasya yat sangati pumso manivatsyat tatadguna sokula radye tato diman swajutan ivasamshayet. A man will attain the qualities of the person with whom he associates, just as a crystal takes up the color of the object next to it. Therefore, the wise man will take shelter of those who have qualities like his own for the prosperity of his family. Interesting. definition here. Sokula ridyetato diman. So this is a well-known analogy that Prabhupada mentions also, nectar and devotion. And I remember hearing it in the beginning, and I thought it was so appropriate, and we could all relate to it, that we become colored by our association. And if you've ever seen a crystal paperweight, when you're a child, you explore the world and discover so many new and interesting things about reality. So I remember when I was young, I crawled up in my father's desk and I saw a crystal paperweight. It was like shaped, all different shapes. I said, "Oh, what's this?" And I was a little kid, I was looking at it. And then I put it on the table, then if there's anything near it, then that color would be reflected in the facets of the crystal. These flies have been my constant associates for 1 month. They've taken a brut to test my tolerance. So every day when we give class, about 10 flies land on my nose, and so consequently have this fan devotee has joined the fan club to try to alleviate the miseries of other living entities. Our body itself is miserable, and everybody around us is miserable. So one miserable body causes misery to another miserable body, and this means the material world. Our body is miserable, and it gives us misery. And other people's bodies are miserable, and they give us misery, and we give them misery. So it's a mutual miserable admiration society. I'll give you misery, you give me misery. It's a built-in feature of the material world. It makes us eager to transit, enter the transit lounge. So this is the point. Be wise about association, because we will become influenced, we will become colored. Like a crystal, our consciousness is like a crystal. The lotus of consciousness, the analogy here is a crystal. The crystal is clear, and the crystal has reflective and refractive qualities. So the consciousness is like this. So therefore, it's told, Brajetishtan Anuragi Anugami, that if one wants to live in Braj consciousness, Brajetishtan, this is Upadeshamrita, means to live in the consciousness of Radha Krishna, divine love, and their loving service. So if one wants to live in that type of Braj, Brajetishtan, to move, Braja means to move, if one wants his consciousness to always move around the idea of serving Radha and Krishna, Brajetishtan Anuragi Anugami, then he should move and associate with Anuragi Vaishnavas, which are quite rare. But Anuragi Vaishnava is a devotee that has intense attachment for the Lord and serving the Lord. And this rag, this word rag means color also. So his heart is colored with sentiments of love and sentiments of service and sentiments of submission and dedication to the Lord. This is the color of his heart. And such hearts are rare to find in this world. These type of hearts that are colored with dedication for the Lord. Color, like, you know, coloring, you have white cloth and you put in some color, make it blue, green, or you tie-dye it. When we were young teenagers, that was quite the fashion, tie-dyeing. You gather your cloth up in rubber bands and dip it in dye, and it comes out. Your white Levi's come out all circles of purple and orange and all these things. Tie-dyed cloth. So this is what he's saying. And Jiva Goswami gives a commentary, makes clear the power of association with like-minded persons. He uses an example. It's interesting that this verse we're hearing is from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. And Hari Bhakti Sudodaya has several chapters, has a glory about the Ashwat tree, the benefits of serving Ashwat tree, which is very interesting, people tree. And has a chapter about Tulsi maybe also, and different things. It has two very long, extensive chapters about the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Charitra, and Prahlad Charitra, story of Prahlad Maharaj. And it tells slightly different explanations and very interesting detail. The book is also in English. But this particular quotation was the preaching of Hiranyakashipu, because he was quite learned, very intelligent. And so he's preaching to Prahlad about, this verse was spoken by him. It says, a man will attain the qualities of the person with whom he associates, like a crystal takes up the color of the object next to it. Therefore, a wise man will take shelter of those who have qualities like his own for the prosperity of his family. So this is an interesting way this verse is being used. Because Hiranyakashipu is preaching to his son. He says, listen, you, I'm a good demon. I'm a very good demon. Asura Vardhanam or something like that. Asura Shrestha or Asura Vardhan. Prahlad Maharaj, he addresses his father. He says, oh, best of the demons. Oh, father, you're not a demon, but you're the best of the demons. Oh, best of the demons. Asura Vardhan or something, like Govardhan or something like this. Asura Shrestha or something. And then his father is telling me, he says, listen, if you want our family, if you want our family of demons to prosper, then you should associate with, you know, if you're wise, you should take my advice and associate with other good demons, like Shanda and Amarka, your school teachers. They're very pukka demons. Shanda and Amarka were his grammar school teachers. And then if you want our family to prosper, because this is the point of life, you should know this, Prahlad Maharaj. So, of course, he was using it in the other way. So this is nice. Hiranyakashipu was preaching. Our family is a family of bad people. We're Gnostics and Pashandis and demons. And I want you to be like that. So why are you associating with these Narada Munis and all these kind of saintly people? You should associate with some more bad guys like me and take on the color of their evil hearts. So this is interesting. This statement of Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad, although the demon's intention was otherwise, because it is a general statement, it is possible to use the verse according to one's own intentions. So this word money, manivat, that means money means jewel, vat means possession, taking on the qualities or whatever, like Bhagavan, like a crystal. So anyway, he explains the same thing. The 63rd principle, which is one of the five most important, Srinam Sankirtan. Hetan nirvidyamananam ichetam akutobayam yoginam ripinirnitam harirnamanu kirtanam. That's a very wonderful verse from the second canto. Chapter 1, verse 1, about chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is one of the five most important, if not the most important, limb of devotion. At least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Mahajanacharyas, when they are asked questions about this point, if someone was to ask you the question, you have these 64 limbs of sadhana bhakti, and there's so many of them, worshipping deities and offering prayers and all these things. Now, can you tell me which one is the most valuable and important one? Which is the most important, Shrestha, which is the topmost form? I want the bottom line, as they say. Which limb of devotion will give me the maximum result in the shortest amount of time? Right? This is our speed program. Now time, now results. So then the answer that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Bhakti Madhya Shrestha Nam Sankirtan. He says, Among all the Bhakti Madhya, amongst all the different limbs of Bhakti, the Shrestha, the most powerful one, is chanting the holy name, Kirtan, Sankirtan. Not just sitting in the room, falling asleep, chanting Japa by yourself. We know about the value of that. That it takes a very sanctified and purified mind to actually chant the holy name in Japa and get real benefit. of any significance. And that, of course, that stage does come also, that pacified sattvic state of existence wherein one can actually absorb himself in the vibration of Krishna's name. But until that comes, then we have to take advantage of Sankirtan. Sankirtan, Kirtan, Japa. It's like this. Sankirtan is Kirtan with many, and then Kirtan is Kirtan with a few, and then Japa is solitary meditation. So this is it. This is the hole-in-one, as they say, the piece de resistance, number 63. This is the form of devotion, Nam Sankirtan. And this Shukadeva Goswami is telling this to Parikshit. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, following the example of the great authorities, is a doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone, including those who are free from material desires, those who are desiring all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So there's Vishnu Chakravarti's here that is interesting, because it's a fearless way of success. It's a doubtless and fearless way of success. The chanting Hare Krishna is a fearless way of success, because chanting itself actually makes one fearless. Chanting the holy name brings one to a point of fearlessness, because he becomes so much in the presence of the Lord. The more one chants the holy name, the more he experiences the personal touch of the Lord, the divine presence of the Lord. He's convinced. The adept chanter of the holy name is convinced that the Lord is here. The Lord is with me. And I have no one and nothing to fear at any time or any place. If the Lord wants to take me from this world, I'll hold his name on my lips, as Haridas Thakur held the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his chest. And embraced, he clutched those feet to his chest and he chanted his last words, Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Because the personification, all his life he was chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Hare is Sri, right? And this Radha Krishna Yuga mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that unified principle in the Maha Mantra is embodied in the form of Chaitanya. This is the ultimate expression of the living principle. The ultimate expression of consciousness is the divine union of Radha and Krishna. So when Radha and Krishna combined came and put their foot on his chest and in the Siddhabokul, where he was doing his bhajan in Jagannath Puri, then he's holding on his chest, Haridas Thakur is holding the feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna, the personification of the Maha Mantra, came to bless him, to contact him, to the feet of the holy name were on his chest. The holy name is Sri Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And this particular form of the holy name is personified as Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya. This is Chaitana, the highest, most intimate expression of consciousness, divine consciousness, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So people sometimes say, Haridas Thakur is a Namacharya. And throughout his life he's chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then at the last moment he chants, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So it's similar that a devotee may be chanting Hare Krishna throughout his life. But he may also have a Supriya Nam. He may have a very favorite name of the Lord that he cherishes in his meditation, or he cherishes in his bhajan. And so then when some calamity befells him, or he's about to leave his body, which of course is the ultimate calamity for the conditioned embodied being. So at that point, he's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's always chanting Krishna. And in that last moment, he may chant, Giridhari, Giridhari, or Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. And someone will say, hey, what is this? Like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he chants, Ai Dina Deyardar Nata He, Maturanath Kadavalokya Se. And His disciple Ramchandra Puri is telling Madhavendra Puri, hey, what is this? You should fix your mind on Brahman, Namo Narayan. And the Brahman, why are you crying out this shloka of feeling separation from Aturanath? Ridyam Aloka Kataram. Let's see, Dayati Brahmyati. It's Dayati Brahmyati. Kim Karomi. So this verse is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we discussed it. At the end of his life, this great lover of Radha and Krishna was not chanting the Mahamantra or not chanting Nam Sankirtan, was chanting a shloka that emanated from Radharani's mouth when Krishna went to Mathura. Ayidina Dayardanatta, hey, oh, you're the Lord and the master of the Dina Dayardra, you're compassionate to the fallen, Dina Daya. I'm so fallen in your separation, and I'm lying on the ground. Hardly any breath is coming from my nostrils. The gopis are holding cotton to my nose, and hardly they can see anything moving in that cotton, because my heart is slowed down to practically nothing, and the circulation is nothing, and my body is covered with dust, and I haven't changed my sari for months, and I haven't eaten anything. Ayidina Diyardhanathahe. Nath, you are my Nath. You are my Srinath. You are my Srinath, my Gopinath, my Radhanath. Well, now where are you? Mathura, now you're Mathuranath. Kada avalokyase. I can't see you. Avaloka, I can't see you. And what is happening as a result of this blindness, this separation mood? Ridyam kataram. That my heart is becoming, without seeing, ridyam aloka kataram. My heart is so aggrieved. Kataram. My heart is so aggrieved, it's breaking in a million pieces. And then that's my position. Then the only word that comes out of my mouth is dayata. Dayita. Oh, beloved. Dayita, Brahmyati, Kim Karom. All I say is, oh, my beloved. Beloved. And I'm totally bewildered, overwhelmed. Brahm, Pramod, Pramik, like this. And then what do? I just throw my hands in the air. I say, Kim Karomi, what can I do? In this situation, this state of life and heartache and heartbreak and separation, what can I do? So this is what he was chanting at the time of death. That's the perfection. He's identifying with the viraha bhava of Radharani. So this is also there, that one becomes fearless by chanting the holy name. And he conquers over death by chanting the holy name. So this is a long purport. Maybe we can discuss it tomorrow because we're out of time for this class. But this is some of the qualities of this Nam Sankirtan. And Vishwanath gives us nice commentary. I could probably summarize it in one sentence. Vishwanath is telling, from Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, we can understand that of all the limbs of bhakti, which is the king? Which is the king of the limbs of bhakti? The answer is, this verse gives the answer. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, Nam Sankirtan, is the principal method. It's chief. This is the most important. And one never gives up this practice. Chanting is the chief. Among the different types of chanting, glorifying the names, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord, chanting the name of the Lord is supreme. The phrase Nam Anukirtanam means either chanting the name according to one's bhakti, or chanting the name continuously. Because of this, one need not ask for further proof. So he's saying that this, there's a word here, nirnitam. What is this chanting? It is without fear at all. What else can be said about chanting the holy name? There are no reservations arising from considerations of pure or impure time, place, or candidate, or ingredients. Akutubhayam. Even the lowest of humanity who cannot tolerate serving the Lord are not opposed to this process of chanting. This, it says, even the lowest among mankind are not opposed to the process of chanting. So this is quite common. They may not be interested. They can't tolerate service of the Lord. They don't want to serve the Lord. But everyone has some kind of attraction for chanting. We see that also. The people carry on with their lives and they're quite happy with whatever they're doing. which means they're not serving Krishna for a moment, at least consciously. And then they come by somewhere, there's some song going on and chanting, and they start dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. And then they go back. On the Parikrama Marga, you see this. People hear some kirtan or some glorification of Radharani's name. Or Sani Wali, like this. And everyone's chanting. But they're not doing any service, but they're not opposed. They're not opposed to this taking up of the chanting. So this is what's happening in Kali Yuga. The Lord Chaitanya is imperceptibly capturing everyone with his holy name. This Nam Sankirtan is actually getting into everyone's bloodstream. And there will come a time very soon in the contemporary history, maybe we'll all see that time, when masses and masses of people will have no other shelter but the holy name of the Lord. Because there'll be serious world upheavals within the next 20 years. And people have already, the seeds of Sankirtan have already been planted in everyone's heart. And then when the upheaval comes and people will say, oh yeah, remember that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. As they had a phrase during World War II. And during World War II, they had a phrase that said, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Of course, you may wonder what that is. But a foxhole, during World War II, people were throwing bombs everywhere on each other. Conventional warfare. Cannons and bombs and all these things. So then the soldiers would dig a hole in the ground and then put all sandbags around the outside of the hole and hide over there and maybe shoot some guns or something. It's called a foxhole in ballistics or army terminology. So it says there's no atheist in a foxhole. In other words, when bombs are falling everywhere, then everyone starts saying, oh God, please save me. don't blow me up. Please save me. I'll be a good boy, I promise. But until that time comes, until calamity is on our heads, then everybody thinks, okay, fine, I'm all right, you're all right, let's enjoy life. But so this will come, and then we'll all get to take advantage of this. So this process of Nam Sankirtan fulfills everyone's desires. Whatever you want, you can get from Nam Sankirtan. So that's the conclusion of the 63rd principle of devotion.